Hello, this is Cătălin Câmpanu and this is a Risky Business sponsored interview with Patrick Gerdy, VP of Marketing and Security Researcher at Nucleus Security. Nucleus Security does vulnerability management and you probably know them because of their nifty dashboard. It has a lot of great automation tools that are basically catnip for InfoSec researchers. Good day, Patrick. How are you?
Great. Thanks so much for having me on the show today. I appreciate it.
We're going to talk today about CISA-KEV, which stands for Known Exploited Vulnerability Database. It was launched by CISA back in November 2021. And it's probably one of the very few government products that has been widely accepted as being a very, very, very cool thing. Now, I wanted to talk to Patrick on what's the role that CISA-KEV plays in vulnerability management these days.
Yeah, that's great question. So I'm really excited about CISA-KEV as well. It's a list of known exploited vulnerabilities that the U.S. government has identified as high risk. And the U.S. government has essentially mandated federal agencies to ensure that they remediate and take action on any of the vulnerabilities on this list. And so I think in discussion, there's a lot of questions that people have, but this is a really good threat intelligence feed as it relates to vulnerabilities that gives people a high indication that there's real risk as exploitation has been confirmed. So it's really exciting in what CISA is doing with some of these different initiatives and the new technologies. And not only is it available to federal agencies, it's also available to anyone in the world. So that, you know, I think that's what a lot of people are geeking out on is a lot of people have never seen information like this before or had access to it before, which is great.
I don't remember who said this, but I remember reading it on social media that basically, CISA-KEV is a threat filter with a very bad indicator put on it at all times. So if it's on CISA-KEV, it's basically, buddy, you got to go patch right now. So I was wondering, because of the high severity of these bugs and because it's confirmed exploitation, how does Nucleus use this information? How does it help its customer? How does it prioritize their vulnerability management?
Yeah, that's a great question, right? So Nucleus is an automation framework in helping organizations assess vulnerability risk and prioritize which vulnerabilities to take action on. And I think it's important to recognize too, like there's a lot of different actions you could take on a vulnerability, which, you know, could be patching the vulnerability, it could be putting a mitigation in place, it could be accepting the risk of the vulnerability. Or it could be, you know, deferring. And there's, you know, other things to consider as well. But as it relates to CISA-KEV, it's a very high indication that there is known exploitation. I think it's also important to note that's different than whether it's actively being exploited as well. So you could have an exploit that has been known to be used, but maybe isn't actively being used by actors. And I think that's really what comes into play is we provide the ability to use CISA-KEV within Nucleus to identify high-risk vulnerabilities. But we also think it's important to consider other context around vulnerabilities as it relates to not only confirmed exploitation, but whether there's active exploitation. And then how the, you know, whether there's a proof of concept available of exploitation. So there's different levels to consider. And essentially, like, if something's on CISA-KEV, it's a pretty high risk thing the U.S. government has told all the federal agencies to go patch or mitigate. So really, that's a good thing for commercial enterprises to use as a kind of tip of the spear and prioritization within their vulnerability management programs.
You were telling me earlier that there's ways to further enrich this information based on, let's say, frequency of attacks and EPSS score. Tell me more about this process.
Yeah, so I think we had a lot of questions when the KEV came out at Nucleus. It's a very basic data set. There's not much information. There's a lot to be desired. So One of the first things our CEO Steve Carter did, which I love, it's great to have a CEO that's so active on the product side and in the space, is he's like, I want more information. Let's build an enrichment tool where we can enrich sysakev. So you can go to our website, nucleussec.com/sysa-kev, and we essentially released correlation between the sysakev, CVSS, so you can see CVSS scores, EPSS, which is the exploit prediction scoring system, which maybe we can talk about in a second. And then also we partnered with Graynoise, and Graynoise gives high indication of active exploitation via their honeypot network, which is great. But that started to give us some sense as far as like, you know, hey, what does this look like and how does this mash up with different prioritization methods and other intelligence? And I think don't get too distracted in that, like, anything on the Kev should probably be prioritized as very important because there's confirmed exploitation. But I think part of this too is understanding like there's other methodologies to layer in. So Kev is kind of your tip of the spear confirmed exploitation. And then there's other things like EPSS, the exploit prediction scoring system, where you can then bring that behind and increase or put a probability in place of exploitation over the next 30 days. And that is a kind of a tool that gives you a use an ML model to determine whether something's likely to get exploited or not. And then I think the other piece is just the aspect of layering in commercial threat intelligence feeds. So there's kind of a middle aspect there. So within our product, we include Mandiant for threat intelligence for our customers. And that really gives you more context and deeper and more rich information as far as looking at other context as it relates to threat actors. Is there POCs available, proof of concept of the exploit? How easy is the attack? What are the consequences of the exploit? And kind of getting a better understanding of each vulnerability so you can make decisions at large scale within your vulnerability management program as far as what things to prioritize based on those risks.
Yes, I think Mandiant has a very good database of threat actors that besides telling you what they're exploiting, they also say what industry verticals they're active in.
That's correct. And I do think having additional context, so we're talking about just the vulnerability side, right? And then the other side of the picture is having asset context, right? And that's, you know, is this vulnerability exposed on the internet? Is it on a critical system? Is there a compliance requirement? What is the data sensitivity? I think all those factors really, you know, you start to consider and prioritize. And I think there's different approaches in which organizations like to do that. One can be combining those different factors into a risk score, which is something that Nucleus does, and you can, you know, modify that risk score and recalculate based on what's important to you on the asset side and the vulnerability side. But then there's newer methodologies. I think I might have mentioned this earlier, is decision tree based logic with using stakeholder specific vulnerability categorization. And that's a newer concept that was created within Carnegie Mellon. And now CISA has adopted that for their prioritization methodology. And so I think like what we're seeing is very quickly the vulnerability landscape is changing where there's new concepts, new ideas, and new tooling that can help you really focus on what matters most. While this concept of vulnerability debt just continues to skyrocket and grow. So that's some of the aspects that excites me a lot is we're kind of at a place where now these things are becoming accessible at scale into all organizations so they can actually, you know, make an impact as it relates to their vulnerability management program.
And since you'd said that, let's say John Easterly walks through that door behind you, and all of a sudden you're now in charge of SysaKev. How would you change it to help with enriching its content?
Yeah, you know, there's open standards and protocols that like you could incorporate into the Kev list right away. So I do think getting more context. So what can the government actually disclose about this vulnerability? There might be reasons why they're not disclosing information. I also think it's probably a resource issue, right? Getting more resources on projects like SISACAV, and then I think in enriching it also, like, hey, first.org has CVSS, it has EPSS, like steal the ideas of our enrichment dashboard and just incorporate it into SISACAV. I think those are things that could be helpful in just people getting more context, because that's what we continually hear is like, this list is great, but give us more information would be some of the things, I would say. And then, yeah, it's like, is there enough funding and resources to do those things is what I would ask as well. And I think there's some other great programs like CVSS. There's still value in what that organization is doing with the metrics underlying the CVSS score, and there's some more improvements coming. And then EPSS, right? The exploit prediction scoring system. So how can we incorporate these things into SISACAV as well? But that would probably be the biggest things on my mind that I would love to see, and we would love to see CISA continue to enhance and improve on. So steal all our ideas.
Okay. So I'm also gonna link in this podcast notes some of your LinkedIn posts where you did some very cool visualizations of past SISACAV entries. And you were telling me about ways that looking at SISACAV can help not just Nucleus, but all vulnerability management programs going further. Can you expand on that?
Yeah, I think number one in the research I was doing, I'm a visual learner myself. And I think a lot of people doing vulnerability management, like there's different ways to look at data, but I think one of the things that hit heartstrings in relation to some of the research I've been publishing with data visualizations is it's the first time people were able to actually visualize, at scale, vulnerability information and intelligence. So that would actually be a cool thing, which is like take the charts I created and build those into dashboards with SISACAV so people can look at it from different angles. I do think there's some hesitancy also on CISA's part in that some of these are related to vendors and products. And you don't want a vendor shame, you don't want a product shame, but I think there's some real conversations that need to be had in relation to products that continue to have really high risk exposure and continued really bad vulnerabilities. So I think like that's something from a research perspective of things that I've been doing, that it leads me to believe it's like, hey, are these companies really taking responsibility and helping us eliminate the risk? And I think there's a hesitancy to deprecate products. There's backwards compatibility that people continue to support that literally is putting us in this inevitable state of continued exploitation on products at large scale that are pervasive across the world. So I think those are real discussions like we just got to be willing to have and not worry too much about vendor shaming. But there's a balance there as well.
I actually didn't view it as vendor shaming. When I saw it the first time, the first thing that came to mind was that, let's say if you're a Fortune 500 company and half your network runs on Cisco, Fortinet, and Microsoft, all of a sudden both CISA and the vulnerability management program makes a lot of sense when you know that threat actors are constantly, like SISACAV is now 900 vulnerabilities big. When you know that 20% of those vulnerabilities are also your core infrastructure, it's also a very good way to prioritize. Like, okay, it's just a chart, but it's a chart that it's basically telling you that, hey, maybe you should patch.
Well, and I think that what you're saying is exactly right. And I think the data visualizations help this. It's like, what's your patch management program for Cisco gear? Because it's all over your environment, right? And there's a ton of vulnerabilities that get exploited. So you should probably have that down pat. What's your patch management program for Windows? Oh, you're running Exchange? Like, what's your patch management for Exchange? Like, what is the program you have in place that ensures that actually these mitigation or these vulnerabilities get mitigated and resolved at scale? And that's what was more interesting to me from a data set perspective, is it made it really clear that like patch management is really important with the amount of exploits that are out there and being confirmed as exploited. It doesn't mean that these vendors or other products that have less aren't equally important, but I think they're not as pervasive probably as well. So it's probably going to apply to, less organizations as a whole. So I do think it's kind of cool, and I actually need to publish this and actually get it so people can click around and play with the tool. I have it. I've just been waiting to release it. But you can kind of visualize risk, right, at a vendor and product level that you haven't been able to do before. And the question is like, are those technologies within your environment? When we say Windows, I think there's still categorization of like Windows Vista or XP in these vulnerabilities. So you have to use the data with a little bit of a grain of salt.
You also telling me earlier about some novel ways to use Sysakev. Can you expand on that?
There was an interesting angle that someone said, which is like, if you have a decent amount of Kev vulnerabilities in your environment, it might be a way to justify more resources, which I thought are interesting. Like, if you don't have the resources to actually patch and remediate. And then I think the other part that I think is kind of interesting is in relation to the application side. So a lot of companies still have, for instance, Internet Explorer in their corporate environment. And why? It's because they have a dependency on an old application to run Internet Explorer. Well, that introduces a huge risk to the organization. So, I think the other aspect in vulnerability management that we have to be mindful of is it's not always as easy as just issuing a patch. That application might have to be rebuilt so then we can deprecate IE within our environment. And I think that's a process that a lot of large enterprises are really starting to focus around. Is how do we take care of all this tech debt so we can upgrade and update our systems so they are more secure and patched, if that's helpful as well.
Patrick Geraghty from Nucleus Security. Thank you very much for your time today and your insights on Sysakev.
Hey, thanks for having me on the show today. I've really enjoyed talking about Sysakev, some of the challenges of vulnerability management, and then some of the different newer methodologies that can be adopted and used as it relates to a enterprise vulnerability management program.